But I do not want to keep our next guest holding on too long. Nuggets had a nice win last night, which was cool. And we have Coach George Karl on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Hey, Coach, thanks for being on. You wrote a piece for DenverFan.com talking about Carmelo's time in Denver and the trade that went down. I'm just curious, as you were writing that piece, what were some of the things that were going through your mind?
Oh man, it's a lot of good and a lot of sadness. I think the best thing is, he's one of the most talented players I've ever coached, and he's a great offensive player, a great talent in that area. And then you get back, and as all coaches do, they want to get the most out of their players, and in a lot of ways, I didn't think I got the most out of Melo. I think Melo could have been a better defender, could have been a better unselfish kind of triple-double machine guy that today's game is showing is that's the type of guy you need to win a championship. You need triple-double guys. You don't need 50 points. You need guys that can do everything and also have a balance, at least a strong mind to be, at least be a decent to good defender. So there's a lot of happy and a lot of sad. And I think that's kind of came away. That's the way, if you read the article, that's the way you should come away from it. But, I'm happy for Melo right now. I'm glad he's got a second life a little bit and kind of playing pretty damn good basketball.
Looking back on it, would there have been things that you would do differently the second go around to try to get more out of him?
I don't know if this is publicly known, but the year that I came down with cancer. We kind of stubbed our toe in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that summer, I was in recovery. And I actually talked to my coaching staff about challenging Melo. Me, not the staff, but me going one-on-one more often with Melo in meetings and film studies.
Gotcha.
And trying to just say to him, this is what we need to become a champion. We're one step away, two steps away, whatever you want to say. I thought we were one step away from being a championship team. And that was in July, and I was still in recovery. I was still wobbly a little bit. I was weak. I talked to my coaching staff how they're going to have to delegate more. They're going to have to take more responsibility and being given more I've got to delegate more responsibilities to them. And then, of course, Melo pulled the plug. And in August, I don't know, we knew about mid-August that he was going to announce he wanted to be traded.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one thing I believe in trying to win a championship, you cannot have compromise. You must be committed. And everybody's got to be committed. Whatever biases, whatever anger, whatever frustrations you have, you got to leave them at the door when you walk in the locker room. And you're committed and dedicated. And I just thought my relationship with Melo was more of a compromise, working through the problems, and not ever getting to that championship commitment that I think was needed. I know is needed to win a championship, but I failed in getting it from Melo.
Why do you think there's so many Nuggets fans to this day that harbor such strong anger against Carmelo?
Well, one, I think fans are smarter, and they are more aware of how the game of basketball is played than players think they are. And I think there are fans that know the game of basketball. And those people know when he's being selfish. Those people know when he's not running back on defense. Those people know when he's cheating the team by taking a lazy possession or yelling at the referee or doing something that is individualistic and not commitment to the team. And those fans are the ones I think are angry. I think most fans from outside of Denver probably look at Melo as a very positive, great player. But I think the people that see him, watch him every night, and watch him for, seven seasons every night, they see the flaws as much as they see the specialness and the greatness. And the flaws sometimes come off as individualistic. Some people call it selfish. I never thought Melo was selfish. I thought he just felt he could do it by himself better than anybody else could on the court.
We're watching Michael Porter Jr. kind of have a little bit of a turnaround here, and it's starting to feel like Denver, hey, man, do we have our own little big three? These guys are playing good basketball together. I'm just curious – You know, we're sitting here talking about Carmelo, and Michael Porter Jr. has been a little bit of a head-scratcher. He's been frustrating to watch, and he's starting to turn it on. What kind of similarities do you see between those two players?
I think Melo is more advanced than Michael Porter Jr. in so many different areas. I mean, I think Porter Jr. is a great, has ability and someday will be a great shooter. He has an ability to get shots because of his size and length, but he doesn't have the other aspects of the game, and that's what I think people are seeing now. He could be a great rebounder. He's a great cutter. His length, if he learns how to use his length, he could be a decent to good defender. And I think that's what you're kind of seeing, that Michael Porter Jr. is all of a sudden seeing the other aspects of the game of basketball that he can have an impact on. And instead of just being nervous if he's scoring, he's cool. But if he's not scoring, he's nervous. You can kind of see him out there be nervous a little bit. And he's getting better at that. He's getting better at satisfying his intensity. If he doesn't get the ball, he can do it by doing other things on the floor. Taking charges, getting extra possessions, making the extra pass, being a teammate, being a mentally focused body language guy. The one thing about Michael Porter Jr., he has what I call cool body language. Cool doesn't win anything in the NBA. It might win the fans over a little bit, but cool doesn't win NBA championships, and it doesn't win NBA games.
Coach George Karl joining us. Okay, break down the end of the Wizards game where you could argue it was a 4-on-1. There's time on the clock. There's not a timeout called, and what happened. How did you look at that play?
I would have been confused. I didn't know. I wouldn't know who to argue to, who to yell at, because I could yell at all of them. Murray makes kind of a weird kind of change of direction, and I think if he just would have taken it to the rim, everything else would have maybe fell in place. But then I look at it on tape a couple times more.
Yeah.
And I'm going, why is Michael Porter Jr. going here when he's got dunk at the rim? And you can say the same thing for Fosu and Morris, who's your trail. Why do they stop at the line? You know, we need to tie the game. We don't need to win the game. Let's tie the game. And, you know, a 99% percentage shot is a hell of a lot better than a 37%.
So you would, as a coach, just prefer to just take it to overtime and take your chances rather than going for the win right there?
No question. There's not a coach in the world that wants you to take that three unless you're just, you know, an underdog. And, we always said in our coaching philosophy is, if the game tells you to go to the rim, you have to go to the rim.
Okay.
You have to go to the rim. If the game tells you to go to the rim, go to the rim and good things will happen.
So what happened then was bizarre because
nobody went to the rim.
Because nobody, and they would have been coached to go to the rim in that situation every single time for their entire playing lives, right?
Exactly. But I thought it was like a statement of where our game is going. The three-point line has influenced our game, maybe in a negative way. That we gotta have some sense.
Yeah.
To how we play the game, and I'm a believer. And there are coaches now are allowing escape threes, step back threes, spin dribble threes, and I just think the three ball. You got to like the three ball, and you got to be able to shoot the three ball, defend it, and rebound it. But you cannot deteriorate your shot selection by taking too many of them and taking bad ones.
Mm. Well, we always love catching up with you. I am so heartbroken for you that your Tar Heels lost to my Orange last night. I don't even know how you're...
Don't even start.
I don't know how you're getting over that today. But, ACC man. Basketball. Sorry, Coach. Hey,
Tar Heel basketball is up and down, up and down. I've gone 2 years of up and down, but I've had like 30 years of... Yeah!
Well, Coach, I went to Syracuse. We've had our ups and downs, too. We're in good company. More ups for you guys, though. But,
yeah.
But anyways, thank you, Coach. We love having you on, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, enjoy. Celebrate.
There's George Karl on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Okay, Tyler, I got a really quirky thing that happened from a random listener because I just